You're listening to Adventures in Autism. Each episode, we will bring you the latest in news regarding autism, as well as our personal story and the topic of the week. We are not medical professionals, and none of the information that we give should be taken as such. Instead, we are parents of a severely autistic child. We are here to share our lives and our personal experiences with you. If you would like to know more about our personal story or access any of our other podcasts, you may do so through openeyesnetwork.com. If you would like to share your personal story with us, you may send an email to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com or access our Facebook fan page at Open Eyes Network, as well as our Twitter feed at Open Eyes Network. Thanks for listening. Hello out there, everyone that is listening. My name is Ira Robinson.
And this is Jolene Robinson.
And we would like to welcome you guys to another hopefully interesting episode of Adventures in Autism. This is the week of July 20th, 2015. And since it is getting towards the end of July, we have a special topic for you guys tonight. It is the topic of going back to school. Unfortunately, even though it is midsummer, school is coming up.
It is coming back. Gotta prepare.
Even though this is kind of the summer that wasn't here in Indiana where we live.
This summer for us has been like not a summer at all. Nothing. No. We haven't been able to go outside really because it's either been raining or because of all the rain we've had, we go outside, you get attacked by swarms of mosquitoes.
So. And they literally are chewing us to bits, to say the least, here in our area. It's just crazy.
Yeah, we haven't been able to do the sprinkler or anything this year.
And the kids just love to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Especially they miss Seth. It.
Mm-hmm. They definitely miss it. So, school is definitely coming up. We're planning on starting our kids back to school. In about 20 days, right? So, yeah. August 10th is the date that we're shooting for, which is actually a little bit earlier than what we have in our area here as a normal. I think the school kids here for public schools, they tend to go back right around August 20th or so, correct?
No, actually, depending on what schools you look at, even in the Fort Wayne area, they're actually going back at the same time as they are.
Oh, really? They did change it this year?
Yep. The main reason why, though, ours is going back earlier is I let the kids decide, and they both unanimously agreed to have a fall break added into their schedule.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Because I thought about it last year. It's like, you know, they have a summer break. They have a winter break. They have a spring break. But poor fall. I mean, they go back to school in the fall, yes, but there's no fall break. So I asked them, and they're like, yeah, give us a fall break. And I kind of warned them, you know, if I do it, your school year is going to be, you know, slightly longer. And they're like, it's okay. So
fall was kind of the rejected season, sort of like poor Pluto. Yeah.
And it's funny, too, because like the one school system that I was looking in, that they're starting at roughly the same time, they have a quote-unquote fall break, but it's like 2 days. It's like, no, they need a
it's
week
just
off.
It's a long weekend.
Yeah, it's like spring vacation is a week. You know, winter break is 2 weeks. You know, fall break ought to be at least a week. So that's what I have it. So I have it, they go to school for 9 weeks, and then they have their fall break, and then they go to school for another 9 weeks. And then that's when the winter break happens.
Not bad.
And then spring break does not happen conveniently between the next 2 9 weeks. And I'm not about to push it back, considering everyone else has spring break then. I know they'll just complain, no, I'll go there on spring break.
And they would definitely complain.
Oh, yeah. Crystal, maybe not so much, but Seth definitely would.
Well, you know, that's one thing that we have as a little bit of an advantage here. And I guess a difference that we'll get out of the way for those of you who may not be aware or have listened to some of our past episodes, why not? They're great. Go back into our archives at openeyesnetwork.com and listen to them. We do homeschool our two children. We do have a third child, but she's much older and lives on her own and currently is gestating her own children and so on and so forth. But the two children, Seth and Crystal, they are homeschooled for the past, well, this will be the third full year that yes. they'll have been homeschooled. So the one that's coming up. And they definitely enjoy being homeschooled. I think that both of them have gotten to the point that they are much more used to doing the homeschooling route, and they really enjoy it compared to going to public school. Although both of them do kind of miss their friends a little bit. Well, Seth, not much, you know, of course, because he didn't really have any friends there, but Crystal did. And they kind of miss a little bit of the socialization, but we do get them socialized in other ways. But they do definitely like the homeschooling, and we definitely recommend for anybody that's out there that has the ability to do so, go for it. There's really not a reason not to, you know?
Yeah, just look into your local laws, because some laws, it's very strict. Like, you have to have, like, an educator's degree kind of thing, and others, it's like ours, where it's pretty much you do whatever, you just let the school system know.
Yeah, it's pretty lenient here in Indiana. Ohio, I think, is somewhat near ours, but there is still some restrictions there. And then there are others that, you know, you have to have the teacher certification and
yes,
everything.
Yeah,
it's
I mean.
It's just crazy the hoops that you have to go through with it.
Yeah.
But either way, we definitely recommend at least trying it and seeing if it's something that you guys would like to do. I highly recommend it myself. So anyways, so we wanted to talk to you about going back to school and some of the things that are associated with it, especially in relation to a child with autism. So why don't you go ahead and get us started, hun?
Okay. Well, first off, regardless of if you homeschool or not, preparing your autistic one for school is very important, and you should do it at least a month ahead, I would say. Like the month before. Like last week was when I told Seth and Crystal when their for sure first day was going to be, because I didn't know for sure when the school year ended. Usually I tell them when the previous school year ends, when their next first day of school is, and they write it on our calendar. But I didn't this time because they wanted to have the fall break into it, so I didn't have it accounted yet. So I told them, and so they're prepared. They know. It was so funny when I told Seth, though. He's all like, oh, really? It's 2 days after a game he's waiting for. So he was all he was actually excited for the idea. He's like, really? That's 2 days after blah, blah, blah comes out. Oh, okay, sure. If you want to be excited for school, go ahead.
Hey, go for it.
So tell them a month ahead, and then constantly remind them for some game-related reason. I don't think this year I really need to keep reminding Seth, but any other year I would keep reminding him of when the first day of school is. That way he doesn't forget, because, I mean, he'll forget, you know, not just because he doesn't want to go to school, but just because, you know, he just forgets, you know, dates.
Yeah.
Time and dates kind of barely mean anything to him.
Yeah, his memory and his ways that he associates things, it's really a lot different than what the normal person would do. For him, just to give an example, when we were first going through the diagnosis of autism with him, the person who diagnosed it all said that basically the way that his memory works compared to a normal child's is that a normal child will look back in their memories and they will have a clear, like almost a movie sort of viewpoint going from point A to point B, and they can tell a story in between that, you know, point A to point B. But with him, it's more like looking through a scrapbook that you pulled off of somebody's bookshelf at random, and they just open up a page and point to a picture, but they don't have any clue of the story that's associated with that picture or with the person who's associated in the picture or anything along those lines. And so it's a very confusing sort of situation when it comes to his memories and when they crop up. So what we have to do with him is basically create a movie by doing the constant reminders, and that sort of keeps the momentum going in the mind to keep it there in the forefront. And the more we don't do that, the more likely it is that his memory of the event or of the date or the person that's involved is going to just fade away. It's unfortunate, but that's pretty much how his memory works.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely an important thing. I know that a lot of autistic kids out there have sort of the same problems
issues
when it comes to their memories. Right. So that constant reminder is definitely important, you know, every day or every other day or whatever it may be for your own particular kid.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yep. For us, we remind him about every 2 days or so. Mm-hmm. We'll bring it up to him and, you know, remember August 10th is going to be the day, you know. And
yeah. Like I said, this year, I surprisingly don't think I'm going to have to keep reminding him.
Which is good. We'll deal with that.
Yeah, we'll deal with that.
we'll take full advantage of the game that he's excited about. So
yep. If your child will be, assuming your child goes to a regular school, if they will be riding a bus, make sure they know both the bus number. I mean, I assume that there would be people to help your child. But if not, you know, just still make sure they know the bus number and when they need to be ready to be at the bus stop. Usually, I would assume your child would be picked up at your house if they are in special ed and whatnot, like Seth was when he went to regular school.
Right.
The bus stop came to his house.
Seth rode the special education bus, so it came right to our door, as opposed to the regular class bus.
Yeah.
Would pick the kids up at a different time and kind of way down the road from where where we lived. So it was kind of nice having the bus come right to
straight
our door.
Straight to the door. But he knew when the bus would be there. So like right at X time, be outside waiting.
Right. Yeah.
Unless it was like bad weather out, but he'd be at the door instead.
Yep.
But he knew when to go out there and he knew what his bus number was. So if the bus ever needed to be repaired, a different bus would come up and he'd be like, that's not my bus. And then the bus driver would open the door and he'd see the bus driver. She's like, our bus is broke. We have to use this one. And so he knew. Plus it helped too, because his sister did ride it with him too. So they let her ride with him. So that was great.
That was helpful. Definitely.
If your child will be driven to school, make sure they know when to be ready for that. Make sure they know when you are prepared, when you plan on being prepared to take them so that they can get ready.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend doing everything that you can do to like make them ready as much as possible way beforehand. So like any clothes that they're going to wear the next day, you know, maybe have them help you pick them out or whatever the case may be, you know, beforehand, like the night before or something like that. Here's what you're going to wear tomorrow, and makes things easier the next day, you know, when waking up and trying to get everything done and getting medicines in them and all that kind of stuff. It all really sucks up the time pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, for Seth's case, about half his school life going to a regular school was dress codes.
Yeah.
And he only wore the one color of shirt that you could wear. So shirt part was easy. Pants, on the other hand, had two different choices, brown or black and khakis. So.
Right.
And he tended to prefer the black. However, since he wore them more often, they tend to fray and rip easier. So.
Yep.
Oh, you have to wear khakis today. No, with the black. Well, look at this one. You got a hole in the butt. You can't wear it.
He was very, very good for that one.
Yeah.
But he was such a habitual kid. Well, I mean, not was, but still is, you know, but when it comes to his clothing thing during the school year, he was so habitual. He would, not get dressed until he had eaten. And once he had eaten, then he'd get dressed. And if we, were running late, it didn't matter. He still had to do his entire whole kit and caboodle.
Or if he
it,
didn't know what to eat that morning, or was stubborn and was like, I'm not really hungry. Well, then get dressed. Well, I haven't ate yet. Well, you just, yeah, lots of headache.
It was a trial.
Lots of headache.
So the homeschooling thing has definitely been advantageous with that part alone.
Yeah. He can do school in his pajamas, which is pretty much what he does.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Which I am thankful, though. He has the good habit of the first thing he does, he wakes up and he immediately starts doing his homework before he even, you know, gets something to eat, drink, or even pee. It's like he wakes up and he's like, I'm going to do schoolwork, which is great because when you first wake up, that's when your brain is most able to.
It absorbs the most.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, thank you, Seth, for doing that. So usually I'll get up. Me and him always get up like the same time. I don't know how we do it. We always get up like minutes away from each other. We somehow sense, oh, the other one's awake. Gotta wake up now. And I'll hear him get up and I'll hear him start playing this video or doing this activity, and he almost never really, you know, gets too frustrated with it. He just kind of does it in the morning and then he's done.
He likes to get it out of the way early so that he can have his own thing for the rest of the day. So
yeah, if only Crystal could catch on to that. she waits till the last minute.
She does indeed. I mean, I have seen her doing her homework at 11:30 at night.
Oh, I know. This past school year, and I'm implementing again this year, I made her have, it has to be done by X time, because there were problems the previous year where she would have trouble after I went to bed for work, because I have to, you know, I work at like 5 o'clock in the morning, so I'd go to bed about 7 to get like 8 hours of sleep, and after 7, she'd go to attempt to do something homework-wise and be like, oh, I didn't know how to do this. You should have asked me before. Well, I didn't even try before. And you're trying it at 7 o'clock at night? Seth does all his stuff in the morning when he wakes up. Why don't you do it when
Seth's done with his homework before you even wake up, Crystal.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's like, Crystal, please pick up on that. It's a lost cause.
Yeah. So one other thing as well is when getting ready to do the back to school thing and you go and do the back to school shopping, you want to do what you can to try to let them pick out as much as they can their own. And that, I think, really does make a big difference. I know a lot of parents out there, even for kids that don't have autism, they'll go and do the shopping and just gather it all together and toss it, you know, at the kids. Here you go. Here's your school stuff. You know?
Yeah, here you go.
And I know for Seth, for instance, with the way that he is, if we give him something that he does not care for, he will not use it. So it's best for us to let him choose whatever it is that he's going to get himself. So like school binders or the folders and that kind of thing.
Notebooks, yeah.
We'll let him go and pick it out with us so that he can be pleased with what he gets and be more likely then to make use of it. So
yeah, one unfortunate thing though with schools, at least in this area, is you have to get like, you know, the same looking folders as everybody else. You can't really have the originality and uniqueness or anything. I never really went with that. For either of the kids, I let them, you know, the past like two, the last like year or so when they were in regular school, you know, they had to get like 4 red notebooks, 4 red or 4 green notebooks, you know, because they were also buying for the other students in the class that couldn't.
Which was so annoying to me. They wanted us to purchase duplicates of everything so that it could be shared by the class for those who couldn't afford to get the items. And we're like broke ourselves can we make use of some of these pooled items ourselves? Because we can't afford to keep buying this stuff. So.
Yep. And irregardless of the fact that it specifically said that it needs to be just red, nothing else, blah, 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 blah. For the kids, I had them pick out like three of whatever it said. And then I let them pick out their own binders and their own. Because it's like, I'm sorry, no. They are kids. They need pictures. They need, you know, something so that it's not just a monotonous.
A monotonous?
I don't know. So it's not monotonous. Excuse me, I'm still waking up. And yeah, so I let them, you know. I mean, like Seth's last year when he was in school, his folders were of cats.
Yeah.
He loves cats. So his last folders were of cats, and his notebooks were of pie. Lego stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he had the Minecraft things there.
Oh, yeah. Minecraft. Yes. He did have Minecraft. And now that we're homeschooled, we don't really necessarily need the items. Like, I don't really plan on us doing at all school shopping because I don't really plan on us doing anything. Last year, I had them get binders, but that was about it.
That's another nice advantage with homeschooling is that you don't have to keep buying back-to-school supplies over and over.
You don't
have to
buy a crud of stuff. But continuing on with that, though, if they need, like, a new book bag, make sure they pick out their book bag. If they need, like, a lunch bag, a lunch pail, let them pick it out. Or if they're using a past one, you know, make sure they're okay with the idea. Because, I mean, it is, yes, it's expensive to have to buy these things every year, but it's also a way for them to express themselves, you know, especially if you do go to school where it's like, you have to buy only the red, wide, or college-wide notebooks, and that's all they can use, no pictures, you know, there's no originality in any of that. You know, let them have freedom in something.
A little flair here and there.
Yeah, especially if they have a dress code school, too, then that's even more so. Let them have their fun with their lunchbox and book bag. And
well, yeah, I mean, you and I are both very big believers in the fact that, you know, kids need to be able to express their individuality one way or the other. Somehow you've got to let your kids be,
you know,
themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of it, you know, just even them being able to decorate up their little folder or whatever the case may be. It may be enough to help push that creativity a little bit. So it's important.
Oh, yes, definitely. And kind of going on with this, if they're going to eat if they're going to pack a lunch on their first day of school, because usually you can figure out what you know. Usually you get a menu when you go to back to school of what the school lunches will be, breakfast and lunches will be at school. If your child wants to pack a lunch, make sure you know the night before at least of what they're going to pack. And I say night before, not like weeks ahead, but night before. That way, when they get up, it's all agreed. The child wants this, you can get it ready, and that's just one less stressor to try and worry about instead of the hype of the day. Oh, what do you want to eat? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I'm so nervous. And, you know, so have it ready the night before.
Especially if you have one of those type of kids that's very indecisive or kind of skittish. Crystal's that way,
is
most definitely that way.
Seth has a
difficult time deciding things, but
oh, gosh, yes.
You know, Seth, he's all about, I want this and that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
He knows you want this. No. Did I say that? No. Yeah. He pretty much packed his own lunches and we just overlooked to make sure it's not just all junk food or anything, but he was usually good.
He did a pretty good job. He did a pretty good job. We've never really had a big problem with him as far as eating is concerned. He's a very finicky eater. He has his favorite foods, but you know, actually getting him to eat is not a big problem for us. And I know that's something that a lot of other parents out there do deal with.
Yeah, he loves food.
But he definitely loves food. So he has no issues putting something into his belly.
Oh yeah. Come 11 o'clock, he'll come out and be like, I haven't had anything to eat yet. I better eat. Yeah, we don't have to worry about him not eating.
Yeah.
If your child has difficulty writing or holding a utensil correctly, you know, they do the fisting. You can buy, what is it called? I wrote down tripod.
It's called a tripod. That's
okay.
What it's called. Yep.
You can buy a thing called a tripod. It makes it like a triangle kind of shaped, and it goes over the pencil.
Yeah, it's a little it's rubberized.
Yeah,
and it kind of forces the contours to their fingers a little bit.
I mean, you gotta show them how it works.
Yeah.
But it kind of helps to force the fingers to actually hold it the correct way. And not only is there the tripod rubber things that you can put around pencils and pens, but they do sell crayons that are tripods. I've seen those before.
Yeah.
And I think pencils as well. I know pens because I've seen those too.
I've seen them for paintbrushes and stuff as well.
But
and
I have
like markers and that kind of thing too.
Yeah. I have seen in the grocery store tripod crayons. The other stuff you might have to look online, but I know I have in a grocery store. I don't know which one, but I've seen in a grocery store the tripod crayons.
Well, plus they do sell the tripods separately as well that
yeah.
Will fit over crayons and that kind of
Well, that's what
thing.
I was saying. I don't know where you would have to go to buy those because I've not really seen those at a grocery store.
Yeah. Well,
the crayons make
they
sense.
They definitely do work though.
Yeah, that's what Seth used.
For Seth, he had really bad issues with doing the full fist action with the pencils and pens and stuff. And it took him almost a year to actually get down the habit of holding them in the correct way, but he did end up getting there, and it was because of those tripods. So
yep, and now to this day he doesn't use the tripod anymore, and he is able to use a pencil pretty good.
Yep.
He funnily enough has almost better handwriting than Crystal in my opinion.
He definitely has better handwriting than I do, so but I'm blind, so yeah. Yeah, so that's definitely one item that I would say would be a great thing to pick up, not just for the school itself, but also for use at home, you know, for their homework and that kind of thing. It's just going to make their life easier. You can look online. I'm sure they have them on like Amazon and that thing as well. So, you can definitely find them.
If you have a, special needs specialty store nearby, I'm sure they sell them too.
Oh yeah. I guarantee
that. 'Cause I know the one that's near us has one. Also have their supplies ready more than a week ahead of time. That way it doesn't seem too overwhelming the last week of summer. Oh my gosh, we gotta get ready. We gotta da 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 da. You know, it kind of shortens the mood of the school year. Whereas if you have it like a few weeks early, then it's not so. It's more, it just helps to put in the mind, oh, school's around the corner, but it's not yet. You know, there's still a summer yet.
Yeah, like if we were having them go to public school still at this point, we would actually start taking them shopping now.
Yeah, I probably would have last week.
Yeah, we probably would have been done way before this as well.
Yeah, I don't wait till last minute. Nope.
Well, I mean, it's not a good idea to do that anyways, because by the time that you wait till the last minute, everything's been picked clean anyways. But, you know, you want to do it as soon as possible for the sake of your kiddos, because they need to have, again, that kind of structuring, and the more ahead of time you can do things, the better you can structure everything. You can build that pyramid on top of it. So it definitely can make a big difference when you start way ahead of time. You know, we advocate that, especially with any kid really, but especially with an autistic. Anything that you do, if it's going out to eat or going to a friend's house or going to relatives or, you know, going to parties or whatever the case may be, do as much as you can ahead of time to warn them and to talk to them and, you know, smooth things out. Make sure that they know everything that's going to be going on, just because it's going to make them more comfortable with it all. And less apt to have meltdowns when that day comes. Because if you don't, you know, if you just kind of shock their system with it all, they're definitely, that's asking for meltdown territory. So
yes. And especially too, as soon as you have all the supplies, or at least any supplies and a book bag, start putting it in the book bag, even if it's still a month away. Make sure, you know, have them help. That way it helps to reinforce in their mind, this is my book bag, this is my stuff. And then also, that way too, they'll see the book bag, you know, place it wherever you're going to have them, keep the book bag when they come home from school. And it helps to just reinforce in their mind, school's around the bend. And then that way, too, on the first day of school, you don't have to hurry up, you know, oh, put it all in. Or the night before, oh, we got to put it all in. Nope. Like I said, it'll help so that those last few days of summer still feel like summer. Not, oh, gosh, we got to do school shopping today and clothes shopping for school tomorrow. And, you know, oh, my last week is ruined, you know. It just kind of helps to make sure it's all ready. And when the day does come, they just got to grab the book bag and go, you know.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Well, listen, let's go ahead and take a break here real quick.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll discuss even more. We have a few other things that we've come across as far as our kiddos are concerned that may help you out as well. So we will be right back. Ben Franklin said, "If you do the same thing tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today." Changing the world starts with you, and changing you starts with changing the way you think. Late Night in the Midlands can help. Listen to all of our shows at latenightinthemidlands.com, because things really do need to change. The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener-supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed.
Tune into The Family Factor with Denny C. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning at 5 a.m. as he looks at all the challenges facing the family today. Denny will give you a refreshingly new look at tackling some of the biggest issues. So start your day off on the right foot with Denny C. and The Family Factor, right here on the New Spark Radio Network and K98Talk.com. Sunshine.
Open Eyes seeks out the heart of matters, looking for explanations in places that most other radio hosts refuse to go. No subject is forbidden, and nothing remains hidden. Listen to Open Eyes on the Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network, weekdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Open minds, open hearts, open eyes. Thank you. Well, hello there, and welcome back to Adventures in Autism. My name is Ira.
And this is Jolene.
And I hope that you guys are getting a lot out of this episode tonight. I think it's very timely, as opposed to our holiday episode last week, which was a little bit late. For those of you who may not be aware, we do other shows on our little network as well. I am the host of a show called Open Eyes, which airs on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OpenEyesNetwork.com as well as LNMRadioNetwork.com. We're also played on K98 Talk, which is an awesome station, and I'm grateful for them airing our shows. On Thursdays at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we also bring you a show called Brothers at Arms, which I host with my brother from another mother, Joe Long. And we kind of talk about politics and current events and all different kinds of stuff, and kind of come from opposing viewpoints. And it's a pretty interesting show, I think, and a lot of people really like it. So if you guys haven't checked those shows out yet, please go to openeyesnetwork.com and give them a listen. We have all of the archives available, not just for this show, but for all of our other shows on the network as well. And so hopefully you guys will go there and take advantage of things. We have hundreds of hours worth of listening pleasure for you guys out there. So before we took the break there, we were talking about sending the kids back to school and giving the parents a little bit of a break.
Supposedly.
Built-in babysitters, right? Not for us, though. We do homeschool the kiddos, and they're with us 24/7, 365. Oh God. Anyway, so what else did you have on your mind as far as getting the kids back to school is concerned?
Well, some school systems have a dress code. Like I said, the first half of pretty much both the kids' school years, they had dress code, unfortunately. So that being the case, if your child goes to a school system that does have a dress code, number one, if it's their first time at it, explain it to them and make sure they're aware and understand what the colors are, the type of clothes that they can wear, you know. However strict it goes, ours was kind of lax. It was just, you know, blue shirt, blue or white. I think it was blue or white. Blue or white shirt, and then khaki or black pants. And then beyond that, it was kind of loose, you know.
Yeah, and I will say as well, some schools even go so far as to issue uniforms to the kids.
Yeah. Like I said, it depends on how strict your school is.
One thing that's unfortunate is that there are a lot of kids who are autistic that do have issues with tactile sensations. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you will get uniforms or, you know, dress code enforced type of materials that your kid may not be very apt to wear with grace. Let's just put it to you that way. Yeah. So there may be something that you can do to, like, talk to the principal or maybe the superintendent or something like that to get maybe an exemption for your kid if they're autistic, to allow them to wear something different, maybe, you know, going with the same colors or whatever, but of a different material, so that they don't have as much of a freak out over the type of material that is, you know, constantly on their skin. Mm-hmm. I know for Seth, for instance, he did tolerate things, but as soon as he got home, he was stripped.
He was stripping. So. Yeah, he was stripping in the doorway. Hold on, Seth, let's close the door.
Yeah.
People don't need to see your naked butt.
He would tolerate it for that 7 or 8 hours that he was at school, but beyond that, he was done. He couldn't handle it anymore, and he'd take everything off and just start itching like crazy and on and on and on. It drove him crazy, but he was okay enough to tolerate it for that long. Mm-hmm. But your kid may not be that tolerant. And so there may be something that you can do to help get an exemption from that.
Yeah. So if it's their first time for dress code, explain it to them. If it's not their first time, then just help reiterate, okay, we need to do the dress. We need to do the uniforms again. You know, we would always put the clothes away when the school year ended. That way he didn't wear them, and not like he would, but put them away so that they stayed clean, so we didn't have to, like, rewash them come the beginning year, although we still did. And then, so that they're in good condition, you know, as opposed to just sitting in the closet and possible dust mites or whatever. Another thing. Let's see here. Where do I have it on here? If your child will be having a packed lunch on their first day of school, something you can do, you know, help them figure out, like I said, the night before what they're going to have. But on the day, as you prepare it, unless they're doing it, you know, put a little special note or picture in there. It'll help kind of brighten their day when they're at school, you know, it won't be so... It'll help break the ice, help them feel a little more comfortable at the school day, knowing that they got a little special something.
We did that with Seth for a while. He would carry a picture of Crystal with him. Because, you know, he's always had a good connection with Crystal. And so he would carry a picture of Crystal with him for a while. And then he started carrying around a picture of Mommy as well. And he would have them in his book bag.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that they were there in the book bag helped him out a lot. It helped to ease the anxieties of being away from home quite a bit, actually. And then what helped was later... down the line, Crystal started going to the same school. They were separated schools for a little while there.
It's confusing.
Yeah, it's a weird situation here in Fort Wayne. But
yeah, by the time we homeschooled them, Crystal was in the middle of third grade, and she'd already been to 3 elementary schools.
Right.
That's how weird the school system in the little area we're living is.
Yeah, and so she was going to the same school as he was on that last year. And whenever he would start getting anxious and that kind of thing, the teachers would actually have her come to the room and help to ease his anxiety a little bit. So I thought that was really good of them to allow that, you know, that if he needed it, she could come and help out with it. So, you know, maybe that's another option for those of you out there that have multiple children that are going maybe to the same school, that you could work out an arrangement with the principal or with the teachers or whatever, that if they are having like an anxious time coming along, or they're going into a meltdown or whatever the case may be, that their sibling could actually come and help out just by being a familiar presence.
Yep. I had another that I didn't write down. I'm trying to remember what it was.
Of course.
Oh, no, I remember now. Okay, so if it's your child's first time going to school, or it's the first day is coming up, and your child is nonverbal and can't really understand speech very well, you know, if they're that far gone, then something you could do is start play pretending school. That way it'll kind of get in your head, in their head, and then when they do go to school, it's not so, oh my gosh, what's going on, you know?
That's a good idea. Yeah, I definitely would recommend exactly that. Sitting down with flashcards and maybe even making up a little bit of a corner of a room look a little bit like a school would or something like that. Whatever you can do to help to ease that transition along would be really, really good.
Yes. Or if they're, just whatever you can do to help ease them into it.
Yep. One thing that we were allowed to do when Seth first started going to school was they actually allowed us to come to the school with them and kind of hang out for the day. So we actually did that a couple of times to help get that transition in there. So maybe, again, that's something that you can work out with the principal or teacher or whatever to actually go there to the school yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you have the capability to do it, not working or whatever the case may be, that you can go and help to actually get that transition going one way or the other.
Yep.
It's helpful. It makes a big difference, a lot bigger difference than you really would expect, I think. People don't realize a lot of times that it really does help to ease their tensions if they have something familiar that's there one way or the other.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Seth was even allowed to carry Pookie with him all the time. His teddy bear.
Well, the first few years, though, he did Blue Man.
Well, yeah, but he carried them in his book bag with him, so...
There were very few days that he didn't, and on those days we're like, oh, he had an argument with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, he'd bring them in, like, in his kindergarten years during show and tell. He would show them off. And
everybody loved Pookie. Pookie yep. Pookie had quite a bit of adventures with Seth, that's for sure.
Oh, yes.
So, if you let's go into a couple of specifics as far as homeschooling is concerned before we get to the end here. We've got about 8 or so minutes left.
Okay.
If you do homeschool, don't be afraid of asking them their opinions of what to do the next school year. So for us with our kids, we've homeschooled them. This will be the third full year coming up here. And so the first year that we went through homeschooling, we pretty much arranged everything ourselves. And, you know, this is what you're going to do, period, period, period.
Yeah, and I had a buttload of stuff for them both to do. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, pretty much by the time the end of the school year was happening, Seth was just so stressed out. And I'm just like,
Mama overwhelmed.
But I feel like I have to do all this because, you know, I had the feeling that I had to do everything. You know, I had to make sure they had language arts. I had to make sure they had math every single day, both those. And then I had to make sure they had science. I had to make sure they had social studies. You know, I felt like I had to do everything. Even though the rules for our area says we don't even have to do those subjects. It's just, you know, free to do whatever. We're free to do the unschooling, if you're familiar with that. But... didn't really. I was just so much of a, I have to do all this for their education.
Right.
Especially
well,
for
you were
Crystal,
but... you were doing the whole new to homeschooling mom thing.
Gosh, I was so stressed out. I was like, am I doing enough? I just didn't feel like I was doing enough.
We had many talks in the middle of the night. I just don't feel like I'm doing enough. I'm like, honey, you're doing way more than you need to even right now.
I felt like I was doing, I felt like I was not doing enough. I felt like, oh, they're
bad
not going
mom
to
thing.
Succeed. I mean, even your mom, you know, we live with Ira's mom as well. Even she was like, are they doing enough? And by that point in time, I was more solid in my thinking. I'm like, yeah, they do this. She's like, oh, I didn't know. Because she's like, I get up and I just see them on the computer. I was like, well, they do everything on the computer. That's why.
Yeah. So that definitely helps, though, if you can
get
work
their
out
opinions.
With them. What they would like to do or maybe what goals they'd like to have done, you know, that kind of thing.
Like example this year, Seth had mentioned earlier in the summer that he would like to learn chemistry and have like the science lab coat and blah, 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 blah. Specifically working with potions, as he says. Potions, you know. So the bubbly, the fizzy, the erupting things that you mix together, blah, 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 kind of thing. So last week when I had told him that school was starting on a different day, I didn't do it the same day. I want to say 2 days later, I had mentioned the school thing again, and I asked him, how do you want your school days set up? Because we have the freedom to do that. I mean, if you don't have the freedom, then don't do that. But I mean, I asked him, you know, how would you like it set up? How would you like it? You know, you have to do this and you have to do that. You know, I have my few things that I say he has to do. And I was asking his opinions on other things so that there's, you know, a bit of a difference in the days. You know, some days he's going to be doing worksheets, and then there's other days he's going to be doing videos. There's other days he's going to be doing computer things. And I had asked him then, are you still interested in chemistry? And he says, oh, I am. I want to do chemistry, at least the chemistry with the potions, making potions and stuff. Okay, so we're going to do quote-unquote chemistry this year. Now, obviously, for him, it's not going to be so much of a learning thing, whereas for Crystal, because obviously she's going to be incorporated with this, she'll understand more of what's going on. But it'll be more of a sense, a tactile...
Yeah, the sensations of it.
Yeah, it'll be a pleasing in that aspect for him.
Yeah.
So I already have like a buttload of of things that we're going to do, and to that they might not all be potions, but they should fit the quota of what he's looking for. So
yeah, exactly.
Mix this with that and see what happens. Oh, look, it's fizzing.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. I know that you had a couple of other things that you wanted to hit here real quick.
Okay. These three, they're just associated with homeschooling. So basically timing, make sure you, some homeschool places you need to have, you know, a specific schedule set. Like they have to be there for a certain amount of hours. Ours is just days. They have to be a certain amount of days. Hours is not important. Make sure you have ahead of time the schedule that you're going to have set up, and make sure your child knows what it is too. That way the first day it's not like, wait, what? What am I doing? You know, subjects, if your area requires all the subjects or certain subjects and you're free for others, you know, just make sure you have the subjects ready. And again, make sure they know. And also be open for the possibility for them to learn other things. Regardless, if you go to a school, if you're in an area where you have to teach them specific things, you're free to go outside of that and teach them outside of that. It just won't be considered part of the curriculum. But, you know, if they're interested in something, you know, do use that as
well. Go with their interests, right.
And then school days, make sure ahead of time, like I said, to tell them when their start date will be. And then if you have the end date, when their last day of school should be, you know, you got to account for sickness and other things, then tell them. And that's the same, too, even if they go to a regular school. Tell them when the first day of school is, and tell them when the last day of school is planned to be.
That's very good. So do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to get out for the people?
Just do everything ahead of time, you know, just... Get everything ready as much as you can ahead of time. Prepare for everything ahead of time as much as you can. Constant reminders, and constantly remind them of like the different things they're going to have to try and remember. You know, the what's their classroom number? What's their teacher's name? What's their bus number? What the time they need to be at the bus will be.
I think we can add to that as well that you should make sure that they know what their address is and what their phone number is.
Or where on their book bag or on them, where they can go
where
to
it can
to
be
see
found.
It.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly.
Like on Seth's book bag. Seth's book bag had his home address too, and he knew that's what it was. So.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. That's important, especially when it comes to a special needs child. You want to make sure that they...
A phone number might be easier.
The ability to know how to get into contact with you, especially when it comes to an autistic kiddo, because unfortunately with autism comes the tendency to be a wanderer as well. So it does go with the territory. So I hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode. I hope that you guys get a lot out of it. And if you have any questions, you can send them to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. And we will get back to you as soon as we can in answer to anything that you guys want to ask us. We've kind of been through the gamut of a lot of different things with our kiddos. So we're always here to help, and we'd like to be a resource for everybody. If you guys want to go to the show notes for this show, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com/AA010. And if you want to go to our Facebook and Twitter pages, those are at Open Eyes Network on both of those platforms. You can also find me at Ira Robinson on Facebook. So I'm not sure what our topic next time is going to be yet. Do you have any idea yet?
I was working on one, but I don't remember off the top of my head what it was.
Alrighty. Well, make sure that you guys pay attention to our social media, and we'll make sure that you guys are well aware ahead of time. Until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much, as always, for listening.
Thank you again.